Ah.
Yeah, but there's a map of it, so you can...
Oh, sweet.
And the palm tree, the whole thing.
Are you guys, are you from Florida, or...?
No, we have family in Florida, but we've been going ever since I was... Well, my dad's been going since he was 25, and, you know, so I've been going ever since I was a baby, and just kept doing it after I got married and started having kids, so it's pretty cool.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, Ritzy.
Hey, Carmen, what's going on?
How you doing?
Guess what?
What?
Mix is almost here.
Mix is almost here?
Yay!
Yeah, all right.
Have you heard of our conference mix?
Well, actually, I have, but I have no idea what it is. I've just heard, hey, heard what mix is?
Yeah.
Everyone loves mix. It's our conference focused on the consumer web space, and Carmen and I are very involved with it.
You're so marketing, Ritzy.
I know. I can't help but get a plug-in for Mix.
Here we are.
We'll probably air after Mix is over, but you can still go to visitmix.com.
No, that's not true. So what are we here for?
You know what? I have not been in this building 44 forever. I don't even know what's housed here. So our guest today, Terrell Cox, will have to tell us who she is and what group she's in.
Okay.
We're so unprepared, like usual.
Well, let me see. So, my name is Terrell Cox. Mm-hmm. I'm the UX manager for MSD, which is Management Solutions Division. We're in the server and tools business. This organization, we deliver the System Center suite of products, things like the products that used to be called SMS, now it's System Center Configuration Manager.
Ah.
It used to be called MOM, now it's System Center Operations Manager.
Ah.
Virtual Machine Manager, System Center Essentials, there's
nice.
Like 7 or 8 of them now. I should probably know them off the top of my head, but anyway. And then we also deliver the management technologies for Windows Server. So, and so my team supports System Center product suite as well as Windows Server. We get to do all the user experience for that.
Nice.
So, UX, I love it because you guys are far and few between.
Yeah.
You're growing. And
we are.
We're hearing more and more about this space, but tell me what that means to you.
Oh,
what
well,
do you do?
I'm hugely passionate about it. I actually, well, let me kind of give you the long story real quick. So I joined Microsoft about 10 years ago, and I was in user assistance. I was a writing manager for Windows 2000. And so my background is very much in communications. Then I moved over into the program management side of things and moved up through the ranks there. And so most of my stint at Microsoft has been in program management, but it's always been focused on user experiences for administrators and IT professionals.
Mm.
And it's just a huge passion of mine. I love it. And so this opportunity arose through very, got the opportunity, and then various reorgs later, here I am, user experience manager now. And so the thing that I love is that I really get to focus in on the user experience side of it. So before, as a PM, you get to wear the UX hat, but you're also, oh, gotta ship, dealing with the bugs, doing all the PM things that you need to do to get the product out the door. And so now I can really play that role of, you know, helping to drive the vision, be an advocate for the user, really represent our customer, and focus in on the part that I love most. So that's been exciting for me.
So when we say user experience, it's kind of a loaded term. It means many different things to different people, from ranging from design to, you know, just the whole process, experience of going through something.
Yeah.
What are you and your team really responsible for? What do you focus on?
Okay. I manage a team of designers and user researchers, or some used to be called usability engineering. And we deliver the designs that end up shipping in the product. So, you know, we support a huge surface area, so I don't even pretend to say that we're able to engage with every team, but the teams that we are able to engage with, you know, we're right there working in the trenches with PM, with dev, with test, helping to design what the interaction is going to be like. The user research gets involved very early on in the product cycle, with doing things like understanding the user's needs, understanding their priorities, helping to develop rich user-focused scenarios, validating those with people, and so helping to shape, well, what are we going to build, right? And how do we know that we're building the right thing? And then we go into more of the exploration and the design phase. So, okay, so now we know what we need to build. How is that going to feel for the user? What is that experience going to be like? are we delivering these features in a way that people can actually get in there and use them? And so the design arm really gets involved very deeply then, and we iterate and we iterate and put it in front of users and iterate it again and get the feedback and just keep turning the crank until we either run out of time or end up with something that we're really proud of. And that's ultimately spec'd and developed and tested and shipped. The role of user experience changes as you go through the product cycle. So, you know, at the beginning, we're very involved with product planning. Then we move into really being deeply integrated with program management. And then once the implementation starts, we're, you know, the designers are sitting in the room with the developers going, you know what, actually, it needs to, this isn't quite aligned. We need this to, when I envisioned this, it was going to look more like that, you know. The interaction behavior isn't exactly what I thought, you know. And so really fine-tuning it and making the end product align with the design vision from the beginning. And then as you move more into the stabilization and the testing, we move into fit and finish. So going in, doing that fine polish, making sure the quality's there, looking at things like typical test aspects. So from an accessibility perspective, so we have this beautiful icon, but when you go into high contrast mode, does it still work? I don't know. Let's make sure, you know. So all these different aspects that go into it. And then you ship it and you gather the feedback and start the whole process over again. So
why did you get into this madness in the first place? In other words, what that question really means is this series you'd like to investigate why females of the species in this particular case, why do you get into technology? What led you? What interests you?
Oh.
I mean, why are you here?
Okay. So here's the story on that. I use a metaphor. So I was a dancer for many years. I took ballet for like 15 years, and I love it. I really do. I still, you know, we're very big contributors to Pacific Northwest Ballet, and it's a passion of mine. And honestly, the things that I love most about it are the discipline and the rigor and the complexity of it. It's hard. It is so hard. I mean, the balance and the control and the strength and all of that. And yet it comes out looking so beautiful and graceful. You know, it's so fluid. And for me, I look back across my time in school and then job I had before I came to Microsoft, and then Microsoft, and it really is a theme for me, is that I love really complex, nasty problems and trying to make them look easy and graceful and beautiful. And at Microsoft, I really do, other than there might be a couple of areas, product groups at Microsoft, business units that are more complex than what we're doing around here, but not too many. And so I like the complex technologies and the layer upon layer of complexity there, and trying to figure out, okay, so how do we make this useful to people? How do we help them do their job? How do we help them enable new businesses and services and realize their potential using all of this great engineering that is going out the door?
Excellent.
So that turns me on. Microsoft? Mm-hmm. Almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. August will be my anniversary.
So, right. And how long have you been involved, like, with the UX side of it?
Honestly, I would say even before I played the real role, I've always been involved with it. But actually, in the UX career track, is that what you're asking? A little over a year now, because before that I was a GPM. Even though I managed a UX team, I also managed PMs, and so my title was PM. And then we reorganized by discipline. It's kind of the fad now, and I chose the UX route.
So talk about over the last, how long, as many years that you've been involved with it here at Microsoft, the evolution of like the designer and developer workflow, and how Microsoft, I think Microsoft has started to take it much more seriously.
Yes, definitely.
We're putting some wood behind it. So talk about that from your perspective.
Yeah.
Like sitting in the server and tools world. I mean, probably people don't think that we put any thought around UX or design into our products on that
It's a very fair point. I would say that in terms of user experience, thinking, and maturity and all of that, I would say that server and tools business is farther behind. It's less mature than certainly consumer and entertainment and,
sure.
and those things, definitely. And, you know, I think Microsoft, well, the software industry, period, is new. I mean, it really is compared to other industries. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of growing up we can still do. And I would say that user experience is part of that is even, you know, maybe we talk about it in the UXLT is we're in our adolescence, mm-hmm. you know. We're kind of figuring it out. We've got pockets of people who really know what they're doing and have a finely tuned machine on it. Mm-hmm. But then there are a lot of teams at Microsoft that are still struggling, you know. And so there is this huge awareness of the importance of it. I mean, Steve B. last year, it was one of his big six imperatives. We've got to create an emotional connection with our users. Mm-hmm. We've got to delight them. We have to do more than just provide them with utilitarian tools. We have to really provide them something compelling. And that's how we will win against the competition.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about the evolution of user experience at Microsoft, we're so engineering focused here. And it's wonderful. I mean, we have brilliant minds, and the brain power is focused in on, you know, how do we engineer great software? I think people are starting to realize that we have to do more than just great engineering. We have to make it compelling and exciting. So what I see is there's a lot of energy around it. There's a lot of awareness of the importance of it. There's a lot of desire to make it happen. In my space, there's definitely that eagerness, but there's also this little, okay, I don't really know what the heck to do about it. And that's where my team comes in. So one of my recruiting pitches when I talk with people, just you got to be honest about the state of things. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a job working in user experience where everybody knows how to do it, right? And you're working with a team of people and everybody knows the process and, you know, you're just going to come in and do your job and get it done, you're not going to get that in the server and tools business. I mean, we're still evolving and we're still learning which processes work well in this business and in this organization and all of that. It takes a little bit of a cowboy. It takes a little bit of a pioneer. And we try things out. We see how it works. Hey, that worked. We'll keep doing that. Oh, that blew up. We won't do that again. So there's a bit of that. I think getting to, in general, I feel like the server and tools business has made huge strides in terms of being more user-focused, being more customer-focused. I can remember when I first joined the Windows Server Group, people, we don't need to talk to customers. They don't know what they really need. I mean, and I can remember being in meetings where that's what the POM is saying, you know, and that's what the GM is saying to everyone. No, we don't need to, you know, come on. They don't know what they really want. Or they're just going to tell you what they need today. They're not going to tell you the future, you know, and you have to focus on the future. Where is innovation taking us? You know, and I think that people are really coming around to recognizing that we have to deliver products that people actually want to use and want to purchase and are very pleased and satisfied with, so they'll buy the next version mm-hmm. of it and will continue to adopt it and use it. And so we've got all these new programs. We've got TAB and we've got very rich beta programs. We've got MVPs and CPE. And so there's lots of different ways that we get customer connection now. The thing that I think we still need to work on is working with UX organizations in the past, what has really drawn me to them and what eventually brought me into this discipline was UX professionals are taught a different way of thinking than you're taught in software engineering or any kind of engineering, quite frankly. They are taught and evaluated on the number of different ideas they can come up with. As opposed to, I feel like with engineering, it's more about how do I pick one that's going to work and refine it, you know, mm-hmm. examine the problem, think through what are some logical solutions to it, which one of these is going to meet all of my criteria, pick one, and start refining it and iterating it from there. Whereas with user experience, brainstorming is hugely important. And I think that's something that Microsoft really needs, is more innovation, more creativity. And I think that is something that UX discipline can teach. So I see that as the next big opportunity for my organization within this larger one as well. How do we bring that UX way of thinking of brainstorm it out? What are all the wild-ass ideas that we could possibly come up with? Throw them against the wall, see what sticks. Iterate it, try out a few more things, fail gloriously, try something else, you know. And this is part and parcel of the way user experience people are wired, and Microsoft needs more of that. Mm-hmm. So, kind of a long-winded answer, but...
So do you,
what was the question again?
It was the state of user experience.
Yeah. So do you ever, like, maybe not you, but do you ever have to have conversations with members of your team saying, trust me, we are valued just as much as the developers are?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do think that user experience has gotten a bad rap, and it's hard, you know. And
is it becoming, like, I think that it used to be thought of as, like, a nice-to-have, and if we have time, that's great. Mm-hmm. But it was never really considered to be, like, an imperative to making the product better. Do you really honestly feel like that's starting to really be internalized with management and our strategy?
I firmly believe that. We actually went through an exercise in my organization right before the holidays in December. And we did an appreciative inquiry, which a friend of mine facilitated. And the idea is that you basically go through and think about, well, what are the great successes that we've experienced? Mm-hmm. And what are the themes that we can learn from that? And I think one of it was very validating for me and for my organization. One of the big themes that we realized is that to know us is to love us. So the people that we've worked with and the product groups that we've really engaged with deeply get it. I mean, by the time we've gone through a cycle with them, they're sold. I mean, yeah, that's it. We need more of that, you know, and people keep knocking down the door. Now, I think one of the challenges we have is that it's hard to do an elevator pitch as to why user experience is important and why the process of doing it in this way is the right way to do it, as opposed to waiting until the end and, you know, a little spit polish on it and send it out the door. But once you've gone through it and you see the result and you compare it to what your experience was the last time you did it without going that way, people are sold. So we need to do a better job in user experience of sort of how do we articulate it without you having to go through a full cycle with us? That's kind of something we need to figure out. But I definitely, as more and more people are putting focus on user experience, it's raising their awareness and they're getting excited about it. And as there's peer pressure too. So teams who have done that level of engagement and have really released great experiences, other teams look at that and go, wow, I want some of that. How'd you do that? Like, hey, all right, we took a user experience, user-centered approach to it. So
I have a question in terms of user experience teams adopting technology that can actually extend their ability to create interesting user experiences. For example, you know, why doesn't SMS or MOM or whatever it's called use WPF?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And why aren't we taking advantage of technologies that enable you guys to create these wild, interesting user experiences?
We actually are using WPF in some of our products.
Good.
And we are really starting to push the envelope there. I think that a lot of it is just the nature of our product release cycles are very long, and it takes a while to pick up the next greatest thing. I think a lot of our products are mature. And so some of these technologies require, WPF is a prime example. It's not just picking up a new technology. It totally changes the way you work and the dynamics of the team. I mean, it is blurring the lines between developer and designer. And it requires a very new process. And, you know, in a large organization, that's a hit. and a risk to shipping, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we know how to ship in the old way. What are you telling me here? How are we going to... I mean, simple things is, you know, how do you check in code? Who's allowed to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden the designer's doing it. Mm-hmm. What is that? How do you know that the quality is there? So we are doing this in some places, and mm-hmm. I think it's really just more about going through the process, going through the cycle, figuring out the kinks of it, mm-hmm. and then getting some successes and building upon it. But certainly WPF is really exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, the promise of it is wonderful. The, mm-hmm. the thing that I love about it is that it puts the decision-making into the hands of the experts, mm-hmm. And frees up the developer to focus in on their core expertise and talent too. Mm-hmm. You know, so one of the things that I think has always been very frustrating, especially when I was a UIPM working with UI developers, was, it seemed like it took 2 weeks to do just the simplest small little dialogue, or, you know, I mean, it was just ridiculous mm-hmm. how time-consuming it could be. And I think it was the developer didn't really have the tools or the expertise to be able to fine-tune it and get it exactly where it should be. And was provided no training on how to do this or anything. They're just waiting around. And you've got this designer over here who's passionate about it, knows what needs to happen, wants to do it, mm-hmm. but yet they don't have the tools to be able to make that happen, and WPF fixes that. So in my mind, I'm thrilled mm-hmm. about it. The trick is getting more teams to adopt and getting my team fully versed in it too.
And then, of course, you know, the teams that build the tools need to build tools that designers can use, right? Mm. I mean, we have expression, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
but this,
yeah.
you know, that's not necessarily the answer. I mean, what I mean by
it
that is it's not quite ready yet.
Yeah, it right. holds a lot of promise. It does, but mm. it's not, you're absolutely right. I had a one-on-one with a designer on my team just yesterday, and we were talking about how time-intensive it is to get it looking exactly the way he wants, or to get the animation exactly the way he needs. And he's like, it's totally worth it because I'm learning how to do this, and once I figured it out, then I can help other people figure it out. But it's not quite there yet.
It's getting there.
Mix
is going to have
exactly.
all the answers.
Now I know why you've heard of Mix. And you should send some of your designers there.
Totally.
So, anecdotally, are there more females in user experience?
That's a good question.
Than the developer side? From your experience?
Yes, there are. But I was surprised that it wasn't more even. It's actually not as... my expectation was that it was going to be more like 50-50. And then as I started getting more involved with the user experience community across Microsoft, then I realized that it's not. And that surprised me.
Meaning there are more women or more men?
More men.
Of course.
Definitely,
what are you
going to
do?
Definitely. I think UA is the only bastion of femininity at Microsoft.
What is UA?
UA, user assistance, content publishing, that area. But yeah, you definitely have more women in user experience than development or even test. But it's not the numbers I'd like to see. Mm. I think just in general though, recruiting for user experience at Microsoft is really hard. We don't have a reputation of delivering sexy products, and so you don't go to design school to, oh, I want to go work at Microsoft, you know? Wow, they're doing the coolest stuff. And that's not exactly. But we are doing really interesting things. And mm-hmm. you can build a full career here. You can work on many different technologies here. You can make things happen at Microsoft that you couldn't make at any other company. And you have a lot of design freedom. People always like, Apple versus Microsoft, and mm-hmm. wouldn't you rather go work at Apple, and that sort of thing. And it's like, well, honestly, I mean, Steve Jobs is going to tell you what to do, so you don't get a lot of creative freedom. I mean, I haven't worked there, But that's my perception. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, yeah, it's kind of crazy and wild and wide open, but you can make things happen here in a way that we've got the resources, we've got the excitement, we've got the people, we've got all those things are in place. You just have to have a vision and make it happen.
Do you have any example or a story you could tell that kind of describes that? Or is there anything that where the design, the UX part of it influenced something that was unexpected? I'm putting you on the spot.
I know.
Remember, this was Microsoft.
Well, the thing that's hard for me to answer there is because I feel like I could give you 10 bazillion examples of that, of, you know, every day we're having small wins, we're having certain influence and all that. And so, like, is there one huge coming, you know, being the underdog, coming from behind and stepping in and saving the day and being the UX hero or anything like that? I mean, I can definitely think of, one product, for example, that was actually wrapping up when I joined the team was System Center Essentials. And I think that the user experience focus there made a huge difference, really ended up making them a major player in the market. A lot of excitement with the press and reviews. And I do think that that had a lot to do with, you know, the designer and the user researcher coming in and applying some great thinking and making it work. I don't know if there's a UX save the day kind of story.
That's cool. Little wins are good too.
This is absolutely true.
What's on your mind?
I'd rather be consistently successful than be a hero, quite frankly. So
I hear that.
Well, I mean, I would argue that we still have an incredibly long way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, Apple, we talk about Apple versus Microsoft. Apple gets user experience. Yeah. End of story. Whether or not Steve Jobs is telling people what to do, they get it. Mm-hmm. And we are slowly trudging along. So it's nice to see that we have like a whole team dedicated to this now, right? We have Vista was kind of a, you know, okay Windows experience. So let's talk a little bit about like in engineering, like you have really big industry-wide problems, right? Like concurrency. Mm-hmm. And then you slowly but surely chip away at it by innovating algorithms and new systems, etc.
Yeah.
So in user experience, how does that work? So in other words, what is a user experience innovation? It's easy to understand what an engineering innovation is, right? Like, we have this library that makes it easier to write parallelized code. Oh, nice. So what is let's talk about user experience innovation. What does that mean? Where's the innovating happening? See, I'm not a user experience person, I'm a developer.
Where is innovation happening?
What does it mean?
I would say, I think kind of coming back to what you were talking about before, in terms of, you know, what technologies are we using, and I think that is one of the big areas that we need to innovate and that we need to drive across Microsoft. I've been doing, I'm putting together a paper, sort of a response from the UXLT to Steve B's call to action last year, and user experience being one of the big imperatives. And so I've been going around with a couple of other people and interviewing the top minds, user experience at Microsoft. And one of the big themes that keeps coming up, and I totally agree with, is that we don't have a great UI framework. There's Splash, which holds a lot of promise, and that was used in Media Center, used in Zoom. And so I think that there's great innovation there that we are not tapping into, and there's a lot of opportunity to continue to innovate. And it really comes back to we've got the people with the vision working at Microsoft now. They just don't have a way of getting what is in their minds and what is on what they put down on paper actually into the software and realizing that vision. And so I think that is our big opportunity for innovation, is not so much coming up with something new, because I think we've got it. It's making it possible is the next big opportunity.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, but you've been here 10 years. You obviously, you sound like the passion is emanating off of you. You obviously still love
That's
it.
Good.
It's very good. I understand your recruiting challenges, but yeah. I mean, this is a great place, right?
It is.
And for females.
Yes.
There's a home here that where you can be successful. And
it's been, I definitely say my experience as a woman at Microsoft has changed a lot. Since I joined. Well, so I had the luxury of joining through user assistance. And so honestly, for the first time in my life, because my degree is in physics, so I was one of two women in the physics department, honestly. So there was that. And then I came into a situation, and my first job was for a software company, hardly any women there, and then came into Microsoft. I was hired in user assistance. And honestly, it was the first time I was ever in meetings on a regular basis where there were only a handful of men in them, and the rest were all women.
Nice.
And it was really interesting. The dynamic and the energy was very different. And so I was like, wow, this is kind of, I kind of like working with other women. This is cool, you know? Then I switched over to PM, and I literally worked on a hallway where I was the only woman there, and, you know, I had two bathrooms all to myself. And since then, now I'm starting to see, it's very exciting to see more and more women, more and more senior women in STV. About 3 or 4 years ago, I joined the Women's Leadership Council for the Windows Server group. So there, it's actually like, we've reorged so many times since then, but it's for like four of the major business units in server and tools business. And it's this wonderful community of women who we've kind of stuck with each other for the last few years. And we've grown up together, and the community has grown, and we're doing so many exciting things. And to see the kind of impact that the activism that and the things that were just personal passions of ours, like when women drove a summer internship program, well, let's sort of get the women interns together, build some community there, make sure that they're getting some additional mentoring out of it, have a few fun events, you know. And it's grown, and now it's becoming a standard for all of Microsoft that, hey, we're going to start doing this. Mentoring Rings was another program that we ran. There's this wonderful new one called STV One Degree that's been going on for maybe about a year and a half now. And the idea there is, well, it's an opportunity for networking. And so how do we, when there are so few women, how do you build relationships between women when you might go all day and not see another woman? Or there might only be one or two women in your group, you know? And it sort of keys back to the research that if you have friends at work, you're more likely to enjoy your job. And I have more friends now through this community, and I do enjoy it more. But yeah, I mean, the idea is that, hey, if there's something you want to do, then we'll help you do it. Mm-hmm. You've got to invite all the rest of the women who are on the alias. There's like 900 of them. And if enough people show up, we'll help you pay for it. Right.
Wow.
And it can be anything. I mean, there's this, people are doing rock climbing walls, and people are doing yoga, and people are doing wine tastings, and people are doing training, and they're doing career development together, and they're doing, you know, book clubs, and it's awesome. So I'm very excited about that, too. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to get women excited about software. Software is getting a bad rap in the industry overall, and certainly with women, but I see movement there, too. We had the CEO of, I hope I don't butcher this one, the National... Is it Consortium of Women in IT? I forget what the C is. I think it's Consortium. Anyway, came and spoke a couple of weeks ago, and the Women's Council got to have lunch with her. And it was so inspiring to see what happens when their charter is to go around and look across the industry and figure out, well, what are people doing? Because what they found is that people can't, there's no vehicle for sharing best practices. There's no way of knowing, well, which programs are helping to promote women in this industry. Mm-hmm. What is working, what isn't working, we just don't even know. And so they're like, all right, that's our job. And so talking with her and realizing that, hey, things are getting better, you know, and here's where the specific problems are. One of the things that I found really inspiring, they did this research that looked at all of the patent applications since 1985. Mm-hmm. And women patent holders in IT, it was really small. I mean, the percentage was teeny, but it was either tripled or quadrupled in the last 20 years, which I thought was very exciting. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that they found is that they took a look at patents that have been cited that are in use, right, and really having an impact, and compared it along gender lines. So, and what they found is that patents that were developed by research teams that were men and women were just astronomically more impactful than pure men teams or pure women teams. And I think that really speaks to the heart of our push for diversity at Microsoft. Right. I mean, the more perspectives you get, the more innovation. Right. So
yeah,
I see this happening, and it gets me excited to stay and stick around and be part of it. Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice to see. I'm getting really tired of seeing the khaki pants and everyone talking and looking like Bill Gates at the highest level of the company. It's
uniform.
Like, yeah, I mean, why aren't, you know, that's what we need. I think it's not rocket science that if you're a young woman going through college and you look at, you know, you hear about Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Bill Blah. I mean, what about Mary something?
Yeah.
So it's not rocket science.
The role models are not there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge hurdle for us. But at the same time, yeah, the easy solution to that is not the right one. And that's the one that I know women worry about is, well, okay, hey, we don't have enough senior women. Well, okay, so let's just make some senior women.
Right. For the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and I think it's more about, well, let's figure out what are the things that are holding us back. Mm-hmm. Let's question ourselves and get curious about, well, what are we doing that isn't enabling women to be successful at the upper echelons?
Right.
And I think there are a lot of things that we do that make it hard. We got to fix that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, mm-hmm. fix it.
But we're working on it, right? Progress.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys,
progress.
You,
the last
you
10 years,
two are the
progress.
Ones. You're a senior. You're a pretty senior woman there. And you're a UX manager, so get to work, people.
Well, this is why we're doing the Women in Technology series
well,
on Channel
but
9.
But this isn't going to solve the core problems.
Successful women, but it's good to hear the stories and hear that there's a place for everyone.
Yep.
Of course.
Of course.
That's a great note to end on.
Yes. Thank you very much for your time. This is interesting.
Thank you.
Can you still go, like, is it on point, is what they call it? The ballerinas on your toes.
Oh.
Yes.
I actually did that not too long ago, and yeah, I could, but I can't do a split anymore to save my life.
Who can?
I know. I was That's trying hard. To do that, and I was going to show my daughter the other day. I was like, no, this isn't going to work.
Listen, on that note.
That's a great note to end on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.